if they haven't caught a glimpse of what's going on and if they trust their pediatrician to do this.
Oh, I agree. But listen to this scheme. So a guy checks in. One of our guys checks in today. So they're moving the needle again. Like you said, no pun intended. I like the use of that. It was 2-4. And now Fauci and his wing monkeys, because they're not selling enough serum, you're not going to believe it. They moved it down to 6 months old.
Oh, Jesus.
That's what's going to come out. Three shots starting at 6 months old. They're going to fucking ruin these kids. These kids don't have a chance. You're 6 months old.
Listen, you know how I feel, and I guess I should not be surprised, because I know they have been ruining kids for decades. It's their industry.
When they're not testing on kids with AIDS or giving kids AIDS.
I'm even talking about the vaccine. Okay. There was something I tweeted out the other day because it caught my eye very quickly. I've checked in on Twitter, and I always check what's trending. And there was a hashtag trending called I have a pre-existing condition. And then as you scroll down, it was all these people boasting about their pre-existing condition. More or less what they were trying to say is, you know, get vaccinated to protect me or whatever they were, you know, trying to get across. And I was like, no. This is a hashtag marketing campaign to normalize all of these conditions, all of these autoimmune conditions, all of these things that these people had prior to COVID, right? So they're saying, you know, like, I have a pre-existing condition, you know, big deal. I live with it. And I wanted to say, I did say that it was conditioning to normalize what's going to come from the vaccines, all of these autoimmune diseases that people will now have. And, you know, they will carry that around for the rest of their life like luggage. But I wanted to say, did any of you people with your pre-existing conditions ever think that your previous vaccines did this to you? Because I would bet a whole lot of money that it did.
Well, it's almost it's a great point. It's almost like a mixed drink. Like, you got a little bit of this, you got a little bit of that. And then you add this in. Hey, let's put some fucking tequila on top of it. Let's put some grain alcohol we got here by Pfizer, Moderna. Ooh, and guess what? Guess what? We have a number of folks watching this. We know your medical history, and now we have a bunch of guinea pigs running around. We know, this guy's heart blew up. Well, what were his previous vaccines? And so we know by this concoction. Pretty much. Right. I mean, they're doing this stuff. People don't understand that they're basically guinea pigs.
I will here. This is a story about how the human body and how it works. I know this family.
Isn't this a conversation you have with your kids when they're teenagers?
Yes, to scare them. Remember Scare Straight when we were kids? You remember Scare Straight?
Yeah. Well, okay. we got scared straight by the nuns.
we had that, and then we had the real one. No, this is a good story, because it's a sad story, but it's a story nonetheless. But this woman I know, son, dabbled in drugs. So you had at one point, okay, here the end of the story was, he wound up on somebody's property, went through their house, was beating people up. The cops had to come. They tried tasing him. He wouldn't even go down. He was taken to the hospital, shackled. He has no recollection of any of this. Doesn't even know why he did it. Has no memory of any of it.
Yeah, that's an old intel trick.
What do you mean?
Well, if you'll permit me to give you a sidebar, I'll give you one.
All right, let me finish the story, then you tell me.
Right, you go ahead.
Okay, so as I read the medical report, after the mom got the hands on the medical reports, we went out to lunch and we were looking through them. And what we gathered was if one time he did this drug, and then 6 months later did ecstasy, and then three months later he did something else, they described it as like this, when that third drug, there was like this like combustion in his body, like made him go nuts. He went absolutely bonkers. And again, no memory of this. Still has no memory of this. But I will tell you, he's mighty mentally screwed up. Okay. So there's some brain damage there. But they described it that you could take these, like, maybe you take a drug once and nothing ever happens. Maybe you take a drug twice and nothing happens. But then a third time, it could absolutely do this to a person. So imagine all of these vaccines from birth. You get something and boom, you have lupus. You have MS. You have, there's a million of these autoimmune diseases out there. But it could be a combination, a combustion or whatever, of these things in your body over time that make you sick. Like there was something given to moms in, I want to say the 50s or 60s, and there was a trend that like 30 years later, a lot of these women of the moms that took this one medication all had breast cancer as adults. They're like, say, 30, 40-year-old women. But it all stemmed from whatever the mom had taken while they were pregnant to stop morning sickness or whatever. So the body, again, so when you're saying, oh, I have an autoimmune disease and you need to run out and get a vaccine to protect me, are you ever thinking that the vaccines you've had in your life may have done this to you? And you're asking other people to put these poisons into their body that are unknown, and we have no idea what they're going to, what they could do to a person. But that's what I mean. People are not critically thinking. This is all a marketing campaign and to see how many more people you can get. So, okay, tell me your intel story.
I mean, what you said makes so much sense. But the intel story is this, right? Jason Russell, nobody remembers this guy. I remember him. Because when I saw this poor bastard get set up by the intel folks, when you talk about those drugs and stuff you're talking about, and I say it's an intel play, let's harken back to 2012. Jason Russell, I just Googled him. He's an American film and theater director, choreographer, and activist who co-founded Invisible Children Incorporated. And he was the director of the Coney 2012, a short documentary film that went viral in 2012. In 2 weeks, listen to this. You know this wasn't fucking organic, Maria. When you hear these numbers, you know this is bullshit. I mean, the numbers are real. In the first 2 weeks of his film, it gained 83 million views on YouTube. It became the subject of scrutiny and criticism. Its subject is the Ugandan rebel leader, Joseph Kony, his alleged war crimes and the movement to bring him to the international court. Now, these guys came out and they said, you know, stop Kony. And they sold bumper stickers and people were giving money. And it was like this big thing, right? It was a big deal. It was a big deal.
Okay.
And he had this little charity and he was out on the West Coast. And I saw this guy. And the money started rolling in. And I said from the minute one, now I know cats who work all over the world. And we knew at the time in 2012, nobody had seen Joseph Kony, the local Ugandan warlord, in like almost a decade. No, presumed dead. Nobody knew where he was. And he certainly wasn't conducting any war crimes because he was gone. He was vanished. Mm-hmm. But in 2012, they got the film together. They got this movement together. I said, oh, this is like, they're fucking raising money for weapons or drugs.
Right,
or something
right,
like.
Right.
This is an
right.
intel play.
Makes sense.
Right
yeah.
away, right away. And then, well, sometimes these things go way, way, way beyond the expectations of the puppet masters behind them. Well, this one took off because it played like, Kony's harming the children in Uganda, and we need to stop him. And, you know, everybody gets out their credit card, their gold cards over here. Rightly so. This man is a barbarian. He doesn't really even exist, basically, in many ways.
Right, right, right.
Perhaps he was the first invisible enemy. We have an invisible enemy in Uganda. And so In 2012, they went from putting out a YouTube film to bringing in over $30 million.
Holy moly.
Just from this, you know, Stop Coney thing. So here's what happens. And since then, I don't know, they've made several million dollars. Let's say another $20 million since then. But 2012 was the peak. Now, I know what happened. This cat is like a filmmaker, right? Like a, you see these guys that go to film school, like a Jim Morrison types, or they're not all there, you know what I mean? They're artsy, artsy guys. And they don't really mix well with Intel guys. And many times they don't understand they're being played. So when this money starts rolling in, Russell's thinking, I'm the fucking man. Like, you know, I'm the next Oliver Stone. This is crazy. And they have all these projects they want to do, right? So they say, we're going to do this next, and we're going to do that next. But when when the puppet masters come looking for their cut, because they have other things in mind for the money, a guy like Russell will say, fuck you. We put this together. If you've seen Wag the Dog, it's the same thing.
Right.
Remember Hoffman says, I need credit. It's always about credit. What are you talking about? I have to get credit for this. I'm going to call the media. I'm going to tell them we staged the war. This is the best part of my entire career. This is the highlight of my career. And then they usher the guy off. Yeah, yeah, get in the car. We'll give you a ride home, and you never see him again. So at the height of this Coney 2012, this guy, Russell, is walking down the street in San Diego naked in the middle of the day. Stark naked, rambling. Blah, 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 blah. Right? I'll tell you what happened to him. They gave him a needle. He was in a car. They threw him out of the car, and he was on the street walking around naked. Well, that was the end of Coney.
Right. Wow.
Because
he didn't
want to kick in, right? So he,
right.
And then he woke up. He was hospitalized for like several weeks. He said, I don't even remember this. This is crazy. I was just walking down the street. The next thing I know, I woke up. I'm in a hospital. This is what happens. Mm-hmm. He didn't want to pay the man. Right?
Right.
They're working a scheme. These whole things are schemes. They play at your, you know, this is a much lower level scheme than COVID, of course, but a scheme nonetheless.
Nonetheless, right.
And they're trying to raise money for different things. You look at Iran-Contra, you look at all these things, right? Guns, weapons, drugs, who fucking knows what kind of proxy wars they're fighting and what they need money for. It could just be for political payoffs. I mean, it could be for whatever. But he didn't want to play, and plain and simple, he ends up walking around stark naked in L.A., rambling, babbling, and so that's what I mean by it's an intel play. With the drugs, often happens, right?
Oh, I definitely. I mean, there's more stories like that out there where, oh my God, what was the story in the Snowden movie? Remember, they're with this guy, and they Snowden was witnessing them drugging the guy up.
Yeah, they doped him up, right?
So we know these things happen all the time. It's, you know, what are they giving them and what are the long-term effects of them? What has happened to this guy since 2012?
Well, what happened to him?
Yeah.
Well, he came back, you know, you often find your place, and to keep your mouth shut, they'll try to placate you, right? So after everything calmed down, he ended up on Oprah. She had a show and some kind of sideshow type thing to discuss the incident. That's when they rehab somebody. That's when that's when they bring somebody back. Right.
Right. Like
when Ellen had the security guard on from,
oh my God, Mandalay.
This is
hysterical.
Where they make him legitimate.
And we don't even know what happened to him. Nobody's ever heard from him again.
Right. So this is what happens. So they bring these guys back and they're all in on it. Ellen, right. They're all in on it. I don't understand. This isn't like a fucking joke. They're all in on it. And they bring Russell on to Oprah's show to discuss what happened. Were you walking down the street naked? I mean, this was crazy. Because they want to rehab him for the next thing, right? And don't forget, the money's still coming in at this time. They want the money to keep coming in. So they say, you know what? A lot of money's coming in, Oprah. You got to help us out. We got to rehab this guy on live TV. He goes on and he describes it. It was an out-of-body experience. It wasn't me. That's not who I am. I don't know what happened. Okay, well, you know, that floats, right? I mean, have you seen Oprah's audience?
Mm-hmm.
Dopes. Dopes. So it'll play well. And then for his, you know, he keeps his mouth shut. His wife is into film and stuff. And then she writes a musical, and it's purchased by Steven Spielberg. And, you know, they keep you in the fold if you promise to keep your mouth shut.
And if you play nice in the sandbox.
Then you can go make some films in Somalia or some other dusty outpost. Just don't tell anybody what really happened, please. And guess what? A guy like Russell, okay? A guy like Russell's going to fall into place because he's had a health scared out of him. One minute he's on top of the world, and the next minute, right, his whole world collapses. And so you think about that, and they might give you a warning. Hey, next time, dude, you're not going to wake up in a hospital. You're not going to wake up at all.
Right, exactly.
And so, you know, and they're all, you know, he's an interesting family dynamic. His sister is married to an actor. I forget who it is. Some actor in Hollywood. So it's like, wait a minute, what's going on here, right? But I see these things happening. Like, my kids came home from school, Maria. My younger kid, we got to do something about this warlord. I said, what the fuck is going on the school bus? I thought he was talking about there was a problem on the school bus. Some guy was the warlord. I said, this neighborhood's going down the tubes. This Coney guy. This guy, I said, what are you talking about? We have to give $25 to the Invisible Children. It's really funny that it's called Invisible Children, Inc., if you think about it, right? The entire thing was invisible. They do this on purpose. And
absolutely.
And so I said, I don't know what you're talking about. You know, let me look into it. I started looking into it. I said, oh, fuck, man, somebody's raising some money. This guy's not even in play. So it's...
Well, that's why, I mean, as you're talking, you know, my wheels are turning as to another reason why we know the top players of Schemedemic, they know that they're untouchable. Because, one, they're never going to break script. They're never going to give it up. They're very protected. You know, you're not going to find Fauci, you know, with a needle naked walking around babbling. He's never going to give up anything. They're all going to stick to the script.
Well, there's a lot more at stake than 25 lousy million dollars.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
$50 million, you know.
This is why they could go on television and just spew lies day after day after day. I mean, think about it. Fauci is on the news almost every day. Has anyone asked him? I don't watch television, so I don't know. But has anybody asked him what he thinks about Robert Kennedy's book on him?
I don't know if that's something.
I would say no.
I'm sure that's off topic. You know,
he wouldn't. That's off topic.
He wouldn't agree to saying anything about it.
But the funny part is, you know, there's a book out there. You know, everybody's reading the book out there. And you go on television every day as if there is no book out there on you because you know you're untouchable.
Well, that also is the character trait of a narcissist, potential psychopath. You just don't care. You don't have the ability to actually, you're impervious to empathy, sympathy, compassion, and a regular
But he was cast for this role long ago.
Well, so, because he literally is a maniac. I mean, he's right out of Central Casting. This guy would be, if he were an actor, he would be, I don't know, the equivalent of like...
My point is they don't need to worry about these guys going off script. And
well, they won't go off script.
They're never going to be held accountable. They're never going to be made to pay for this.
Well, maybe I didn't make the point because I was trying to capture as much as I could. This Russell cat, the Coney.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one way that happens. One, he doesn't give the money, and it's a combination of, oh yeah, if you're going to pressure me for the money, I got the whole world by the balls right now. I have 83 million people in 2 weeks watched my YouTube video. I'll go on there and tell them all about you guys. A Dustin Hoffman situation, the Wagdog. Mm-hmm. I'll tell them all about you guys. I have the power. You understand? I'm the man now, not you guys. And then this is what happens to the guy. And so the word is out on the street. Guys like Fauci, if he ever spilled the beans, that'd be the end of him too.
Right. And it doesn't matter that he's of the age that he's at, where he could say, you know what? I don't care anymore. You know, at my age, I'm just going to let the truth out there.
Well, then his family's
never going
to
do that. His family's going to the grave.
His family's at risk. These guys are like Colombians. You know, the incel guys, these real dark fucking guys. You know, the Colombians, the drug cartel, the DEA guys will tell you, they won't go after you if you chin some money or something. First, they'll come after you, but they'll make you suffer by killing those closest to you. That's the game. Until you either give back what you gave and what you took from them, and then they'll kill you, you know, thinking that if you get back the money, we won't kill any more relatives. They'll kill all your relatives. And so these guys are the same ilk. And that's why you don't see these deathbed confessions and stuff, because they control everything. They make it known either through intimidation or direct threats. You want your loved ones to survive? Keep your mouth shut. It's not worth it. And they're probably right in the end that it's not worth it, because how many people would believe it anyhow? They'd say, oh my God, somebody, he's not himself. He's having an out-of-body experience. We need to get him on Oprah.
Well, and any family members that have, you know, said, oh, you know, found my father's journals, or any family members that have ever started exposing secrets, well, they're automatically labeled crazy, or, you know, or it's not true. I mean, I've seen situations like that happen.
Well, look, I talked to Brian Terry's mom, right? I talked to Brian Terry's mom. She found his journals after his death. The FBI came knocking after his death. Like, oh, we just want to search the place, you know, to see if we can find any clues on who killed Brian Terry. And they took a bunch of stuff out of the house. But these dopes, they never do a good job of searching. I know from experience. And and he had a journal in one of his cowboy boots that she found. I think it was in a cowboy boot. And he's like, I'm really worried. I think I'm in danger. You know, that kind of thing. So, and then she tried to make that public. And they're like, listen, old lady, you better keep your mouth shut. You know what I mean? Isn't it bad enough you have to mourn a son, that kind of thing? It leaves a mom thinking, like, what does that mean? Wait a minute. These guys maybe are not the good guys. Of course, they're not. She knows they're not the good guys.
Right.
But when you say journal, that jogged my memory.
No, it's true. I've seen different people that tried to come out with information about their family or whatever they were involved in, and usually it just goes ignored. Maybe a small, you know, portion of the public or, you know, paying attention to it. But maybe it doesn't really, you know, make it to the top, and they'll just say, oh, you know, you're crazy. That's not true. Especially if it's somebody that was really loved. And maybe the child or whatever, ex-wife, widow is telling the story. It's just people don't want to believe it. So you're up against that as well. And, you know, we often wonder, you know, how did Fauci become this little lovable stuffed animal that everybody wants to, you know, love? Like, you really didn't read anything. Like, when he hit the stage, nothing in you compelled you to look him up at all? Like, I mean, the story, I mean, I'm sure Bobby Kennedy's book has a lot of additional information in it, but the foster kid situation, the AZT situation, so much of it was already public knowledge.
There's enough, like I said previously.
There was enough to bury him on day one.
There was enough just from the Village Voice alone.
That's right.
To ruin this guy. Just one publication in the 80s to completely give this guy a career roundhouse into retirement.
And he was given center stage over this. And you're sitting there, and maybe it is just because of our age in our 50s, and we remember the 80s quite well. So you go, well, is everybody from the 80s dead? You know, like, everybody forgot? I told you, I knew two guys that are in their 70s, two gay men. Oh, one of them, you know, just died because he went to the hospital, couldn't breathe, and he died within 24 hours. But anyway, they're vaccinated. So it's like, were you not around in the 80s? Do you not know who Fauci is? Why would you trust anything that man is saying? Do you not recognize the same playbook? That's a little shocking to me. But here we are. I can see like a lot of young people, but then again, we're living in a world where you can access information faster than we could have. It only takes a simple search right in your hand, start looking, start digging, and say, wait a second, why is this guy running the show? But
well, because he's been a fantastic sentinel and quarterback in the past, and he's dependable, and they know he can get the job done, and because he's done it so many times before. You know, just the age thing is just one of the schemes. This guy, he's been there for 40-50 years. He's got so many
but
schemes.
you even had media that covered the AIDS crisis in the 80s not even speak up. Did you forget?
It's not the
that
same
you covered
media.
It?
It's not the same media. It's not the New York Times in the 80s and the New York Times.
Well, wait a second, let's look at Chris Wallace, who was his father. Do you not know any of your father's work, from swine flu and all the things he was exposing? But I mean, they're so controlled that they can't talk about it. But that's from research. Why is it? That was one of the first things I said on the radio show in March of 2020. I had Tom play clips of Mike Wallace and the swine flu vaccine.
Yeah.
In March.
It was a good clip when they shut down the entire vaccine over like four deaths.
Right. So
four deaths.
I was saying.
Four.
Tom, okay, this is Mike Wallace. You know, where's Chris Wallace? Why isn't he talking about his father's work on this? That carries a lot of weight. The reason why he didn't do it is because he wasn't allowed to do it.
Well,
not to mention,
and he's a lightweight.
He bought into it, and he bought into this hook, line, and sinker, obviously. All of these people, because if you're working for Fox News right now, you're supposed to be vaccinated. So how can you come on air every night and talk against it if you're vaccinated? Because as far as public know, they have policy. So everybody that's up there talking is supposedly vaccinated. But in March of 2020, these clips were easy to find. They might not be so easy to find right now. But you laugh and you go, okay, everybody from the 80s is not dead. Everybody in media from the 80s is not dead. This
well,
is the same guy.
I have to tell you, the media is so different than, you know, when I first started.